Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, August 20th, 2017, and I'm your host, Dan Hansen. With me in studio are Hertzy, Seamus, and Vincent. We're all here to discuss free speech in light of recent events in Charlotte and other places around the country. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio at mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only live, but you can always email or tweet whether we're live or you're listening to this podcast. Feel free to give us your feedback with your emails to radio at mnatheist.org or tweet us at Atheist Talk, whether you listen today or whether you're listening to this podcast later. Hertzy, Seamus, Vincent, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, okay, free speech, right? This is a topic that seems to come up a lot and is once again in the news. I think most of us are aware of what happened in Charlottesville and also yesterday in Boston where they had a free speech rally.
And a counter rally,
which was significantly larger, correct. I saw the number somewhere around maybe 40,000.
That's what I've been hearing, yes.
Yeah, that's an amazing number. I saw some pictures posted from there. It looked like a very small number of people who were for the free speech, as they say, rally. But I think all of us and just about anybody would say, I'm for free speech. I really don't know of anybody, no matter what their political views, would say, well, I don't really believe in free speech. But what does this mean? I mean, I think what I want to talk about a little bit today, at least, is, you know, are there limits? What should those limits be? If there should be, why, and if not, why? So, first of all, let's start out with the alt-right groups in Charlottesville. I mean, they have a right to be there. Is that correct? Do we agree with this?
I completely agree.
Right?
Yes, they have the right to be there.
Yeah, I
begrudgingly.
Would. Mm-hmm. Well, it says in the First Amendment, anybody has the right to assemble peacefully.
Right.
To an extent, but I wouldn't necessarily have called this peaceful. But yes, they all have the right to assemble, right to freedom of speech.
I think that would lead to a first question of mine, which would be, what if a group has a history of being violent? There were members of the KKK there, neo-Nazis. These are groups that have a history of being violent. Could you say, well, I think there is a probable cause to fear that violence will happen, and so, you know, this shouldn't be allowed? Or like the mayor who came on or came out as saying that he was very unhappy with the ACLU because the ACLU had fought for their right to hold their rally in town. He had wanted to have it outside of town where there'd be less chance of there being people, confrontations, that sort of thing. What's your thoughts on that?
I got a couple of things with that.
All right.
The first one is one of the most depressing things I read about freedom of speech. Hertzy, I see that you have your laptop. Look up.
I do.
1969, Ohio versus Brandenburg. This actually was a case that involved the Klan.
Okay.
And there was a leader of the Klan who, at a rally that happened to have been recorded with cameras back then, spoke about the need for revenge. Mm. He was immediately arrested, mm-hmm. and charged with incitement. Now, for those of you who are like big into the details of the First Amendment, mm-hmm. You'll know that there is some speech that is not protected under the First Amendment,
right.
And incitement is one of them. Actually, mm-hmm. getting people riled up and having them commit violence. With the Ohio versus Brandenburg case, what the Supreme Court ruled was that amorphous thoughts they're still protected under the First Amendment. What they added was something called an immediacy clause. It was sort of a litmus test. So it's not as though someone's saying, go kill those guys over there.
Right.
You've just added immediacy by phrasing it that way. But right. You can say, you know, I'm seeing people here that really need to die.
Right.
That is still protected speech. There's a really fine line. Mm-hmm. And I argued for weeks that there's no way – because, you know, as you're saying, you know, Nazis have a stated philosophy mm-hmm. that is violent. There are people that they would like to see gotten rid of.
Right, through any means.
So there's implied violence in anything that they do, mm-hmm. but without that immediacy, without a specific time frame for that violence – it is still protected speech. It's a painful line, and I really hope we see some kind of a case to help kind of move that back into sanity. Mm-hmm. But white supremacists, fascists, all these people can basically say whatever they want as long as they don't make it immediately or turn it into an immediate call for action.
And I have posted the Wikipedia article at least onto our Twitter for our listeners.
So what about this idea of like the mayor saying, well, I didn't want them directly in my city in the first place because this is exactly what we saw with the violence and the woman who was killed. I think they should have been outside of the city or out. He wanted to, I believe, have them in a park setting further away. Is that limiting? Because, I mean, can't you then start to take it to a certain other point and say, well – yeah, we put them in this little walled-off section where nobody can hear them and nobody can see them, but we're still letting them talk. Isn't that also – I mean, where's that line at, or is there one?
See, I know you and I earlier were talking – Dan, we were talking about the slippery slope, mm-hmm. and I could see that far too easily because we've heard so many times with the Black Lives Matter, it's, why are you protesting this way? And it's like, well, because you didn't pay attention when they were protesting in the park or when they were protesting
right.
like this.
It's like when we were really nice and nobody heard us, nothing happened.
Exactly. So it is kind of
if you don't make people uncomfortable, nothing will ever get changed.
Which unfortunately, though, sometimes – and I'm playing kind of a devil's advocate on this. Sometimes you have to look at that and go, okay, well, we let that side do it. Technically, we kind of got to let the other side do it.
And as we've seen, you know, say last year with the protests involving people hanging from the rafters of the new Viking Stadium, just because it's illegal doesn't mean it isn't going to fall, you know, within the quiver of tactics that people want to use to get their message across and raise awareness of it.
You could also play devil's advocate and say, well, you know, that endangered people too. You have people up in rafters that, you know, if they fell, they could hurt or kill them, not just themselves, but somebody down below. I mean, also playing devil's advocate.
Right. You know, that's a tough one. You hear that a lot with the highway blockages. You know, there are some people saying, well, ambulance can't get through, which has been disproven.
Right. Not to mention, what do ambulances do then when, you know, 94 is a parking lot?
That's exactly what MnDOT had to say about it.
Right.
It's like we route around these things. We know well ahead of time, and it's not an issue. But yeah, I'm losing that thought that train of thought.
Seamus, do you have any thoughts or comments you want to make on this?
Well, yes. To play devil's advocate just a bit further, I would say that it's also it's not necessarily protected by like the First Amendment directly when it comes to things like I guess those who claim that they are there to protest peacefully, like take Antifa, for example, and they're like quoted on saying that we hope to bring peace through violence, mm-hmm. Which is not necessarily protected by the First Amendment. It's the First Amendment protects your right to peacefully assemble. And the reason the First Amendment is there to begin with is to be able to redress the government specifically for grievances. It's to make sure that we can continue to progress as a society mostly. And that's why I believe personally that it's important to hear all sides of whatever political issue, and it's important to keep an open mind, whether you're liberal, conservative, or if you're even if you're like say a neo-Nazi. Not that I condone being anything.
Right.
Like that.
I don't think we have to talk about whether we're condoning, you know, what, a specific group or not. But yeah, it is, you know, a fundamental right that we have here, and. I do believe that is something that we have to really, if we start, it's so hard because if we start cutting it back in any way, it's like it can be used against us as well. Like mm-hmm. there's something I came across when I was kind of looking at some things for the show, and There's something called the Jefferson muzzles, which I'd never heard of, but excuse me, so sorry. But there's a group out of Charlottesville, Virginia, called the Thomas Jefferson Center for Protection of Free Expression. And kind of like a lot of you will know the Darwin Awards or things like that, there's this this Jefferson muzzle is based to basically show egregious like actions against free speech. And the one that won last year happened to do with atheism, actually, which was let's see if we can do this right. In Tennessee, there was a sheriff who was deleting all comments by atheists and blocking atheist commenters. So he ended up admitting to no wrongdoing, but ended up having to pay $41,000 anyways for his actions. But it's easy to always – too easy to look at others and say, well, we're going to – you know, I don't like what they're saying. I don't agree with it. It's against my morals and – but then what if it's against what it's against us? And so, yeah.
And that's and this was on Facebook that he was doing it.
Yeah, but it was run, that Facebook page was run by the city.
Oh, I know we're going to have a commercial break, but that does bring another question into it about, you know, kind of the Facebook and YouTube and the private companies versus free speech.
Right.
Where are those lines drawn now?
Right, which I think we'll get to after the break here. So please stay with us through the break. We'll return to Atheist Talk with our guests. I'm Daniel Hansen, and you are listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Dan Hansen, here with Hertzy, Vincent, and Seamus. Today we're talking about free speech and some of the issues that surround it. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production of the American Atheist. So stick around, and remember, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for here now, if you'd like to get involved in this conversation with Hertzy, Seamus, Vincent, and I this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205 or email us at radio@mnatheist.org or tweet us at Atheist Talk. We do also have a couple of announcements here real quick. Our donors of the week are August and Cindy, who gave to the Atheist Talk Radio Fund page. I want to thank you very much for that, and to all our other wonderful donors. I think that's pretty much it at this moment.
Yeah, we don't have any large events coming up recently, but you can always check out our meetup page, which is full of events.
Right. There's something to do most days.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, we could say that the radio show volunteer meeting is on August 22nd at Ginkgo Coffee Shop in St. Paul and should be a lovely time.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in what we do here, or maybe you want to get involved, that would be a great place to possibly think of coming to see. So back to free speech. I was thinking about over the break here about free speech is more than just talking. Of course, it's also actions and other things. And one of them wouldn't that be like the putting up of monuments and statues? Like the one in Charlottesville was that rally was originally called was said to be about the monument there to Robert E. Lee. And the desire to have it remain there as part of our cultural heritage, I believe was the claim. So is like forcing that to be taken down, is that a restriction of free speech also?
Well, like Indiana Jones once said, that belongs in a museum. I don't believe in erasing our history. Half of the problems we have
but
now.
But isn't that usually the claim? It's like, well, if you take away the statues, if you take away all these things, then how are we going to learn from our history? I mean, that's what I see all the time on blogs and on Facebook,
right,
and on social media.
Well, in our society, we have statues and we have public displays. Those aren't just for people to learn. Those are places of honor within our society. We have museums. We have history books. We have a lot of different ways that we remember our history, both officially and anecdotally, you know, culturally. it's not so much where a lot of people I've talked to, and me personally, it's not so much a matter of erasing, you know, the horrors of the past. It's about refusing to honor the ideals that these people stood for.
This is an interesting idea I had actually while you were giving the introduction, and that is, okay, if we're going to have these statues, then we need to change these areas into free speech zones. And Dan, I know you and I know exactly what happens when these places turn into free speech zones, as Belle Plaine happened. Vincent is raising his hands in a victory sign.
Suddenly people are less interested in having free speech if everybody gets to talk.
Exactly, because my thing is, if you're willing to have these Confederate soldiers, fine, then I want some Union soldiers in there too. What about Ulysses Grant? What about, you know, some of these guys? Not saying that these guys were perfect. Many of them also had some major issues of their own, but we can have a lot of fun with that.
Well, I also feel like that brings up the question, like, what exactly constitutes as a free speech zone? Like, do we have full freedom of speech in, like, everywhere in the country, or does it just constitute, like...
That's an excellent question. I mean, if we have free speech, why do we have to have a zone for it, too?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why is it just limited to certain areas? And I think it's it also brings up what you mentioned about, like, statues and stuff like that. It brings up a bit of a gray area, because that's more about property rather than freedom of speech. It's the ability to just display your own property, and that doesn't necessarily constitute, like, free speech. Like I've mentioned before several times, it's more about just the right to assemble, the right to voice your opinions without fear of censorship.
Censorship by the government.
By the government, specifically. Correct. Specifically.
Which, like, is not something people get wrong a lot.
Right, right. And that's something I feel like needs to be understood when it comes to just consequences. Like you mentioned earlier, like your employer finding out about you going to a rally and then being terminated, or someone else disagreeing with you, just you losing friends, I guess. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're being censored in terms of your right to free speech. It's just...
Right. I mean, if your employer has a whole list of employee behavior that you have violated by going to a rally, you know, it doesn't really matter how they found out that you were there. They found out you were there, and they can act accordingly.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of the whole corporate culture that's been kind of coming up the last 10 or 15 years or so, like Google and such, where they uphold these idea of these values that you live both in and outside of work. And I know that one of the values at my place is embrace uniqueness. Mm-hmm. And if I had gone to one of these rallies, against somebody's uniqueness, oh, I'd be fired. Mm-hmm. And I would completely agree with them.
Now, notice we were hearing a little bit from the left, but the same people that are complaining about the firings of people who attended these rallies, you know, they had no problem imposing the morality at Chick-fil-A or Holly Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, they still have court cases where they're fighting to be able to impose their values on their employees. So, hey, and if your employer has a different type of value and they don't want that kind of behavior...
Exactly. Then, like, I wouldn't be comfortable working at Hobby Lobby, you know. But I understand that they're a privately held company and they can, you know. I mean, the rules don't have to – you don't have to like them, but you don't have to work there either. If you come into my shop where I work, you have to wear safety glasses. If you don't like that rule, you don't work there.
Yeah, you don't have a constitutional right to that job with that employer.
Right. It's not the government. It's, you know, it's freedom of speech. And states have different laws also about that sort of thing. Some give more, some give less. I know there's – California is one of, I think, three of them that are very strong as far as, like, having rights as an employee. And in those cases, you may have more. It's not dictated by the Constitution, by the government, but by the statutes of that state.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that also brings up the idea of censorship on certain online platforms, like, say, Facebook, Google, YouTube, for example. Recently, YouTube has gone through what they refer to as the adpocalypse, where a lot of content creators, a lot of content creators, a lot of also atheists and skeptic content creators who make controversial content, like the Amazing Atheist, YouTubers like Jacqueline Glenn and...
Is with The Amazing Atheist, was that one the one where he was – was that when he was blowing up because he couldn't change his name?
I don't believe it was just that, because a lot of other content creators were hit by this, and some of them weren't even controversial per se, but
Because I actually did some research on specifically The Amazing Atheist one.
Okay.
But we'll get that out later.
There you go. Well, we still have a lot more to talk about. We'll return right after this break. Please stay with us. I'm your host, Daniel Hansen, here, and we're doing a little roundtable, and you are listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Dan Hansen, in studio today with Hertzy, Vincent, and Seamus. Welcome back again. We're having what I would classify as a pretty interesting conversation about free speech here. And before we continue this conversation, though, which will be our final segment, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. It's really important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsor, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of us. If you'd like to advertise in this program, you can keep us to help keep us on the air. Please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcasts. Personally, I used to show. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. Backtracking. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at the Radio Fund page. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We couldn't do this show without you, and we really do appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is composed by member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts of previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on, as we mentioned earlier. If you want to get involved, check out the website and sign up for Atheist Weekly email. Atheist Weekly email will tell you when the Godless Gamers meet, will help you find an agnostic AA group or a local book club, and even lets you know what speakers Minnesota Atheists have lined up. It's a great tool to stay connected with this community that we've built. If you enjoy this show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Your support helps us better serve you. With all of that, very useful and relevant information, we have a caller, it looks like. Jim? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Thanks.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, Hertzy was talking about having a free speech zone around Confederate statues, and it reminded me of a posting I saw on Facebook. Somewhere there is a statue of a slave, complete with welts and bruises and, you know, scars on his back from whipping.
Right.
To me, that would be a perfect counterbalance to a Confederate general.
You know, I tend to agree. Justice Louis Brandeis was famous for, you know, a lot of different quotes, and one of them that I remember that's pertinent to this is the antidote for speech that you feel might be offensive is more speech rather than the elimination of that speech. So, yeah, it's, you know, I've seen this with a lot of the protesters, too. They're not so much, you know, Antifa ready for violence. They're basically saying, look, if they're allowed to come out here and say that, I'm allowed to come out here and reply. You know, freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from speech.
Yeah, I think you make a very good and interesting point, Jim. Thank you. So there are I can't verify this, but I read that there are somewhere around 700 memorials to the Confederacy, most of them throughout the South. Would you say then, okay, now we have to build 700 other, you know, monument? I mean, don't we already have places that, like, if you go to, you know, Antietam, or you go to these the battlefields, et cetera, that have they have statues of generals on both sides. They have you know, the full history there. Isn't that what we're talking about? And don't those always already exist?
I was going to say, about the battles, yes, but about what slavery was, I think there's like one. And to me, that is disappointingly low. There should be at least one in every state that held slavery. And that does include the North. The North had some of these issues, too.
I'd like to see if we're going to be remembering our history, I really think that we should try to create a context that isn't weighted one way or the other. Statues of Confederates, I mean, as some of you might have seen online, they don't have they didn't remember World War II in Germany by putting statues of Hitler and Rommel and people right. like that all over the country.
They seem to remember.
Yeah. You know, they have their museums, but they didn't give these men, a place of honor that something like a statue would provide. Mm-hmm. So, 9 times out of 10, those statues that are out there of Confederates can probably go because they're there to glorify rather than remember.
Right, right. Any other thoughts on that? Yeah, I think that for me, what is somewhat problematic, and again, I don't know if this is a direct violation of free speech, but there seems to be very few monuments, et cetera, to say the black slaves have fought for their freedom. There are an extensive amount of people that fought on both sides, but it seems like we only have monuments to the one side.
Male monuments.
Right, yeah. There's the first Congressional Medal of Honor winner, black Congressional Medal of Honor winner in the Civil War, doesn't have his own statue, doesn't have anything like that.
You might have heard about the Massachusetts 54th, the movie
yep.
Glory.
Yep.
There's a plaque in Boston. They don't have their own statues.
Right. Yeah.
There's only a plaque?
There's only a plaque. I can't remember the name of the park. It's right on the edge of the main square, I think. I don't know Boston very well. I'm sorry. But yes.
I was going to say, because, I mean, granted, all I've seen is the movie. I haven't read a whole lot.
Well, they showed the plaque at the end of the movie. It's Robert Gould Shaw, their commander, up on his horse. And then, a bunch of soldiers kind of below him. And that's it.
Right. And William Harvey Kearney, who is the first CMH winner, black CMH winner, like I said, doesn't have his own statue either. He is depicted in a larger monument, like his face is in there if you knew that was him. And, it's like – so it does seem like it's kind of pushed towards one side also.
Well, yeah, the context thing, being African-American – I'm not really interested in, they have a statue of this, so I need to have a statue of that. It's whatever happened at, whatever the incident or battle or whatever it was. Just tell the whole story.
Right.
There are always African Americans there. There are always women there. There are always people of various ethnicities there. Just tell it like it is instead of building up one group over another.
I think I want to pull it back more towards the center of the free speech thing here. Because free speech is guaranteed, but not consequences to free speech, as we mentioned before. Richard Dawkins had his talk at Berkeley canceled for abusive speech against Islam. Now, I may or may not be a huge Richard Dawkins fan. I don't feel like I have to say anything about that. he is one of the four horsemen and a prominent feature in atheism. Is that okay? I mean, is that all right that Berkeley could say, he's been abusive towards Islam? We don't want him on our campus. Isn't that the same thing? I mean, what is that?
See, I would beg the question, if a pastor was going to come in and speak who had also been abusive as Islam, would you then also say no to him?
Who makes that decision then? And does that matter?
Well, that's also a good question.
I think it's kind of complicated, and it's going to be different for different educational institutions. But most of them, for a wide variety of reasons, public safety, insurance, things like that, will have clauses that allow them to pull the plug on things if they feel there might be a problem. So it's something that everybody who comes to speak or comes to build something, whatever, they're all made aware of, and they basically retain the right to pull the plug on anything that happens on their campus.
And
so.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily believe, personally anyway, that it's an attack on free speech or restricting like a speaker like Richard Dawkins' right
to free
speech.
And if it's a public college?
Yeah, if it is a public college.
Because they're getting funding from the government.
If they are getting funding from the government, I mean, I believe that it's their right because they're the ones offering the platform to begin with. And when it comes to issues like the riots at UC Berkeley, like they basically had to pull out their speaker, Milo Yiannopoulos, because of safety concerns and stuff like that. And they're not taking away their platform to speak freely at all. They're just taking away a larger platform that might like throw stuff.
They're not silencing them.
No.
Richard Dawkins can still talk in Twitter, which I wish he'd not do as much. But you know, he can still get his voice out there. It's just like I could say, you know, you can't come to my house and say whatever you want.
Right.
You know, if you start saying stuff I don't like, I might be like, you should go home, you know.
And, of course, as a bean counter or an accountant, of course, I have to muddy the waters further of where do we draw the line of government funding? A lot of people are going to get government-funded scholarships or government-funded loans and such to even private schools. And it's like, well, technically they're still getting money from the government, even if it is through the students. But that's, like I said, muddying the waters.
Well, they're still just like – they're not necessarily government institutions. They're
– That is true.
Yeah, they're just – and they're not preventing anyone actively from their right to free speech. They're simply denying someone their own platform to speak freely. I mean, they still – they're – are, I'm sure they've still got Twitter, example.
Twitter,
and
YouTube,
Facebook. But YouTube's a whole other story, bringing back to the adpocalypse, things like atheism and even like just moderately conservative political views. Like lots of videos are being mass demonetized and stuff for various YouTubers. So brings up the question. Again, like, does that mean equal freedom of speech? I mean, YouTube is such a large platform, and so is Twitter and Facebook. I mean,
well, those are private platforms, and as you're saying, it's just because somebody has a freedom to do something doesn't mean that you're required to provide to facilitate that, to provide them with that platform.
I think there's going to be a lot of realigning or reworking of corporate documents as far as concerning these sort of things, so that the corporations, the organizations can protect themselves, giving themselves more leeway to make decisions on this sort of thing. I guess time will tell on that. But you see these corporations coming out, you know, Apple and ones like that are saying, like, we're not going to accept this. They need to make sure, I think, that those are in their manuals in there, that's set, because you can't just wing it.
Well, right.
And there's one thing we have to remember, especially with something like YouTube, is yes, YouTube is the place to go now. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's the only place that's going to happen. People can band together. They can create their own thing and kind of go from there too.
Was it Stormfront? Is that the name of the website?
Daily Stormer.
Daily Stormer. That, like, they lost their place with GoDaddy, but I believe they found another one offshore, I think.
Russian, yes.
Okay, yeah. Our friends in Russia.
Oh, the irony.
So, yeah, I mean, there's still ways for people to talk. So, yeah. All right. Well, I think we're getting close to an end here. I do want to thank all of you here. Thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I am your host, Daniel Hansen. It's been an interesting conversation, I think. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope that you've enjoyed this show. The show depends on your generous support, and we'll see you next time.